Well, there was this man who was chewing the fat with God one day, and he said, "Hey, God, what does 100 million years seem like to you?" And God said, 100 million years? Well, that's like a second to me." So then the man said, "So God, what does $100 million seem like to you?" And God said, $100 million, that seems like a penny to me." So then the man said, "Hey, God, can I borrow a penny?" God said, "Sure, just give me a second." It's a true story. Do you know, that's a silly story, but there's a profound truth embedded in that joke. And that is this: man speaks to God and God responds. And that is a thread that is throughout our scriptures that we hear today, that we are made for something beyond ourselves, something beyond this earth. We have all been made and destined for relationship with God. And in our first reading, we learn that when Samuel had his divine encounter, we are told that up to that point, he had no knowledge of God, and the Word of God had not been revealed to him yet. Now, of course, the knowledge that he did not have of God is not referring to head knowledge. Certainly, Samuel knew about God. After all, he was serving God in the temple as kind of like an apprentice. He was sleeping in God's sanctuary. He knew about God. But the knowledge he did not have of God was that knowledge of familiarity. You know, for example, you know, here's Doug Brady over here. And I can know that that is Doug Brady. But until we spend time together, I do not have any familiarity with him. It's only when we spend time together that we become familiar with each other, and then I know Doug Brady in a way that I did not know Doug Brady before, although I knew who he was. And so everything changed that night for Samuel when he was sleeping in the sanctuary of God. God revealed himself to Samuel, and a dialogue began, a relationship. And so that our first reading concludes with the simple statement, Samuel grew up, God was with him. And so we are made for something beyond the temporalities that surround us. We are made for something beyond this earth, which our feet of clay trod. And that is that relationship. We see the same pattern in the gospel today. These two disciples of John the Baptist, they are given information about Jesus from John when John looks towards Jesus and he says, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And so that piques their curiosity, and those two disciples follow Jesus. Much the same as the story about Samuel. Up to that afternoon, those two disciples had no knowledge of Jesus in the sense of familiarity. God had not yet begun to reveal himself to them. Jesus had not yet begun to reveal himself to them. All they knew about Jesus was this loaded descriptor that John gave to him, the Lamb of God. So they knew his name, so to speak. But they didn't have that knowledge of familiarity. And so they go and they follow Jesus. And Jesus turns around and looks almost surprised and says, "Well, what do you want?" And they said, "Where do you live?" In other words, "We want to get to know you better, right?" And so Jesus says, "Come and see." And we read that they went and stayed with him that day. And thus a relationship ensued between these disciples and Jesus. They grew in familiarity with God that afternoon. God revealed himself to them in Jesus. That is what we are made for. Something beyond the temporalities that surround us. That relationship with God. That is the thinking behind St. Paul's magnificent teaching on our bodies in our second reading. He is responding to libertine thinking that was influencing the Corinthians that he is writing to. Namely, that sexual intercourse is as necessary to our body as food and drink. And Paul replies, no, food and drink are linked to this present world and will disappear with it. But we are made for something beyond all that. God has given us his Holy Spirit. Our bodies are now temples of that Holy Spirit. And so our bodies now have a higher vocation. They are to be used for God's glory, Paul says. They are to be for the Lord. And therefore our sexual conduct must be such as befits members of Christ's body. And so we are made for something beyond temporalities that surround us, beyond the things that pass away. We are made for to know God and to have familiarity with God and his Son Jesus, that which John the Apostle calls eternal life. So how does this happen for us? Well, there are two normative ways that this happens for us, suggested by our scriptures today. Number one, we must dispose ourselves for God's revelation to us. Samuel was sleeping in God's sanctuary, where the ark of God was, that is, in God's presence, when God revealed himself to him. And so we too must frequent the places where God is to be found if we want God to reveal himself to us. In prayer before the Blessed Sacrament in our chapel, at Mass, in daily prayer time with his Word, the times that we can carve out for solitude to be in his creation. We must frequent the places where God is to be found if we want God to reveal himself to us. Keep in mind also that those two disciples of John were spiritual seekers already when they came to know Jesus. That's why they were disciples of John the Baptist. And so we must deliberately be on a spiritual quest ourselves if we want God to reveal himself to us. Second thing is that our scriptures tell us that we must avail ourselves of spiritual guides beyond our own human subjectivity. Samuel needed the help of the old priest Eli to discern God's voice. The disciples needed John the Baptist to point Jesus out to them. They didn't discover him themselves. And so likewise, God gives us experienced guides to help us to know him better. Through the teachers and leaders of the church, through spiritual directors, through those 35 men and women in the 2,000 years of Christian history that have the august title of Doctor of the Church, all of whom we can take as sure guides in the ways of the Spirit. People of such like, says St. Gregory the Great, St. John of the Cross, St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Hildegard of Bingen, and all the 31 others whose teachings are all available to us. Go check out the sycamore tree someday. You might find some of them. And so we must avail ourselves of spiritual guides beyond our own human subjectivity if we want to dispose ourselves for God's revelation. And so, yes, Church, we were made for something beyond all this that passes away. We are made for relationship with the living God. Amen.